Just a quick word from our sponsor before we jump into today's episode. Optimizing your internal processes can often be a huge unlock for streamlining revenue and getting you and your team, if you have one, out of a manual process. If you're looking to reduce costs and headaches in one fell swoop, consider graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere, and you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Everything seems to be more expensive these days, so proven ways to cut costs and boost performance at the same time, like NetSuite, are kind of a no-brainer. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/SPI. netsuite.com/SPI. Once again, netsuite.com/SPI. And now a quick word from our sponsor before we start the show. Ready to earn sustainable income while creating the work you're passionate about? Get started with Memberful. Whether you teach online courses, host a podcast, run a blog, or write a newsletter, Memberful has all the tools you need to unlock revenue and deeply connect with your audience through subscription membership. Their platform allows you to easily gate content, communicate with your audience, and tier membership access directly on your own website. Plus, with Memberful, there's no need to change your workflow. They work seamlessly and integrate with the tools you already use, including MailChimp, Discord, Zapier, ConvertKit, Google Analytics, and more. Utilize their powerful built-in features and dashboards and watch your business grow. The best part? Memberful gives you full control and ownership of your audience, your brand, and your business. Get started for free at memberful.com/SPI. One more time, that's memberful.com/SPI.
Honestly, a lot of these topics I'll go teach in a leadership capacity, right? How do you build high trust teams? Well, some of the same concepts that you need to build a good marriage. And so, yeah, that's been hard for me, this idea of how do you niche down. I may be hindering or slowing my growth ultimately. And, that's stuff I'm still in the process of figuring out. But I was like, well, I'd kind of like it all. So let me speak to it all.
Welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast, where it's all about working hard now so you can sit back and reap the benefits later.
And now your host, in college, he once played the trumpet at 1 a.m. on the rival school's campus, Pat Flynn.
Hey, and real quick, our sponsor today is Uplift Desk, creators of office furniture designed to help you work better and live healthier. If you haven't tried a sit/stand desk before, this offer from Uplift is the perfect opportunity. Plus, you can support the show at the same time. Visit upliftdesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. A desk should fit the user, right? Which is exactly why Uplift Desk has a ton of customization options. They're stable, the materials are solid. I mean, just the choices of material alone are incredible, all the way from laminate to eco to bamboo and even solid wood. The option to stand while working is just healthier, better circulation, better movement, which helps to reduce all kinds of different health risks and repetitive strains. And over 1 million customers have chosen Uplift Desk for their innovative designs, direct to consumer pricing, same day shipping. They can even give you free accessories with every desk. Uplift is a great deal, and they're built to last and include an industry-leading 15-year warranty, free shipping, free return shipping if you need to do that as well. So go to upliftdesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. That's upliftdesk.com/SPI to get 5% off your entire order. Hey, it's Pat Flynn here, and welcome to session 549 of the Smart Passive Income Podcast. Really excited to chat with you today because we're speaking with somebody who is right in the middle of building his business. In fact, he is fairly new to the space. He's a member of SPI Pro. We're speaking with Eric Wooten from AlteredMarriage.com. He's got a really interesting business helping people, couples specifically, with their marriage. And we talk about some really interesting topics today, specifically about not just how to manage a business where you have to get people to be vulnerable a little bit, which can be very difficult, but often become the most life-changing kinds of businesses. But we also talk about what it's like to just be right in the middle of this and not really know necessarily what the next steps might be. I do a little bit of coaching in here as well, but Eric's been doing fantastic, so fantastic, in fact, that as a member of SPI Pro, he recently won a contest or a challenge that we had at SPI Pro. Every once in a while, we do these challenges where we reward the top performing member a spot on the SPI podcast because of something really interesting. And this challenge that happened in SPI Pro in late 2021 involved creating a 60-second video telling a story about somebody in your audience. It's a little meta today because right now we're telling Eric's story and he's a member of our audience here, but he told a great story about a couple that he had helped and transformed, and that really meant a lot to those who are watching. And it's one of the best ways to promote and sell your business is to not necessarily sell, but tell. Tell stories that matter, stories that relate, stories that can be remembered, and stories that can be passed on. And Eric did that, and it was really special. So we're going to talk about that today and more, and what it's like to be in the middle of building a business, especially post-pandemic, and what some of the plans might be coming out of the pandemic, and things that he's going to do to spice it up even more. So here he is, Eric Wooten from alteredmarriage.com. That's A-L-T-A-R-E-D marriage.com. Eric, welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast. Thanks for being here today, man.
Thank you for having me here. Excited to be here.
And also congrats to you and your win inside of SPI Pro and the challenge that we had at the end of last year. That was super fun. I loved your video. I loved your story that you told. Why don't you tell everybody real quick who's here and didn't know what you do. What do you do? What's your brand?
Yeah, so I launched an organization called Altered Marriage right in time for the pandemic, so March 1 of 2020. And basically what we do is try to connect couples to resources and community to help strengthen relationships in a nutshell.
So what inspired you to get into that realm?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things, you know, you look back on life and it's always kind of been there. And so was kind of the eventual, always kind of been involved with couples, had couples in our lives. We've been through difficulties in our marriage, infidelity, infertility, a number of different things. And so, you know, those pains produce passion at times. And so it's just been this journey to kind of figure out, hey, you know, what does this look like ultimately? In that process, got licensed as a counselor and marriage and family therapist. Mm-hmm. And so it's just been kind of a building towards this moment, and felt like, yeah, March of last year was a great time to, or 2020 was a great time to pull that off.
Yeah. So how did the business start off? Like, what were the first steps? I mean, you built a website and you kind of put yourself out there, but
yeah,
what were you trying to do? What were you trying to attract?
I didn't really know, to be honest. So the previous 15 years had been involved in mostly church ministry. I'd done some nonprofit organizations around marriage, but had really been involved in church ministry and done counseling and couples events and all kinds of stuff. And so said, I want to do this myself, and kind of had a vision for what I thought it might look like. But really my goal launching was I was just going to go try to get on stages. That's what I knew, having spoken, you know, hundreds of times over the past decade on stages. Like, listen, I'm gonna call all the church buddies I know, start doing marriage conferences, get on stages, and that shut down pretty quick. So it was an about face, and really, I think, and it, you didn't tell me to do this, and this is not a plug, and I was not paid for this, but okay. The three books that I really dug into leading end of 2019, start of 2020, Will It Fly? Listen to that on Audible at the gym was great, just to kind of evaluate what I'm doing. Ryan Levesque's book, Choose, was helpful. And then Superfans, I literally, I could send you my Evernote notebook of my Superfans rollout. It really gave me like a game plan of, here's the things I need to do. And I literally went each chapter, created a bullet list, said, okay, create a gig. What does that look like? Give them a name. What does that look like? Learn their language. What does that look like? So that really did help me say, okay, I got to start getting in some Facebook groups and learning what they're talking about. What do couples need? How do I start creating that? And then with the world shut down, it kind of forced me more digital than I probably would have gone early on. Mm-hmm. So started a YouTube channel, said, hey, I'm going to start cranking out content every week. I had been doing a podcast with two other individuals, just kind of for fun on the side, not really thinking about it, on relationship stuff. So continued to do that week after week, and then just started building content. So started, tried out an online 6-week online marriage class that I've run numbers of times now. And really, I was just kind of throwing stuff against the wall, trying to figure out what might work.
Yeah. Thank you for those plugs. I appreciate that a lot. I'm really curious. I think there's a lot of people listening who may be wanting to start a business, and it may be in a realm similar to where it's okay, personal experiences, things that maybe are often hard to talk about and have to force people to open up a little bit. How do you balance that and create a business out of getting people to open up and talk about things that maybe are scary to talk about. And you know, they have to be vulnerable. How do you position yourself to make that person feel safe as you serve them?
Yeah, I think I would say do it yourself. You know, I think if you normalize something and you're leading at some level, you know, you have to use wisdom on self-disclosure, right? I don't want to uncover my wife unnecessarily or myself, but I think leading with some level of authenticity and self-disclosure lets other people go, oh, we can say that. Mm-hmm. We can talk about that. Or, you know, you're the expert and you struggle with that. Oh, maybe it's not so bad. I can talk about it because, yeah, culturally, a lot of people grew up in homes where the mentality was what happens in here stays in here. Don't talk about your business. And I just fight against that. I think, you know, one of my biggest, I just believe community is important across the board. I know you do. That's why I was in SPI Pro. But I think even with marriage, I think it should be normal for us to be talking about our struggles with each other and encouraging that. So I think I just try to normalize it and lead the way. And hopefully people will go, oh, I guess we can do this.
I like that. It reminds me of a scene or scenario in a show called Ted Lasso. That's on the Apple Network.
Yeah, watch it.
Yeah, and he's going through some stuff in his brain and it's kind of closed in, but it took somebody else sharing their own experiences first before he was able to open up and share what he was experiencing. And so I think that's very true. And I think that's a good lesson for everybody, no matter what you're doing. That's what put SPI on the map back in the day. It was about entrepreneurial lessons, but instead of just talking the talk and telling people what to do, I kind of just showed people first and made a bunch of mistakes and showed all those faults, and people followed along because they appreciate authenticity and they want to see somebody else's, you know, gone through those things first before they do. So yeah. I really love that. When it came to the research that you were doing with the niche that you're getting into, you know, what did you discover about them that was really interesting in your findings and your conversations? How did that help determine what your business was going to be?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I don't feel like I discovered a ton of new stuff because I've been working with couples for more than a decade already. So I kind of knew. I think probably what was most surprising to me is how complex people are trying to make issues in relationship that to me are so simple. And I'm just pretty simple and logical. And I love learning and digging deep, but then trying to figure out how do I take a concept that is 10 levels deep and too much for most people, but it has some real practical applications. So I think that probably what surprised me most is people thinking something is one thing. And I'm kind of like, hey, no, slow down. It's not all that hard. It's just this. So why don't we talk about this? And I think that was probably most surprising to me, that we're overcomplicating relationship, I would say.
I would say that's very true for sure. Who is your target audience? Is it the husband? Is it the wife? Or like who initiates the conversation with you normally?
Yeah, that was always my struggle too. As I went in this process, you know, everyone talks about niche down and go smaller and who's your target audience. And I was kind of like, everybody in relationship, that's my target audience. And everyone's like, well, that doesn't work. And I'm like, well, I know, but it's sort of true. The reality is most of the time it's the women reaching out for, women are just more in touch relationally and emotionally and more willing to ask for help. So yes, the reality is, like the YouTube channel, majority women are watching that and responding. People who reach out for counseling, majority of the times it's women, which is a sad state. The guy's got to step up here, but you know, it's how we're raised and how we're wired. So I would say yes, married women, probably the 25 to 45 range are probably the ones I'm talking to the most. But again, it's some of it's kind of universal. Your dating and marriage concepts and relationship concepts apply to the dating process. They apply if you're 30, they apply if you're 70. It's relationship. And honestly, a lot of these topics, I'll go teach in a leadership capacity, right? How do you build high trust teams? Well, some of the same concepts that you need to build a good marriage. And so, yeah, that's been hard for me. This idea of how do you niche down and do, like I could go, let me just focus only on affair recovery. That's my audience. People who have been in affairs, but I just didn't want to. And so I may be hindering or slowing my growth ultimately. And you know, that's stuff I'm still in the process of figuring out, but I was like, well, I'd kind of like it all. So let me speak to it all.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay to experiment and talk to different people and see what you like, see what you don't like. And I know you're still in the middle of the process of building this thing. I mean, this is only a year and a half, 2 years old. Your YouTube channel just started, which, by the way, is a closing in on 10,000 subscribers.
Yeah, we're getting there. So
congrats on that. Is that how most people are finding you, is the YouTube channel? How are people discovering your work?
Yeah, I honestly don't know a whole lot. I've got kind of stuff out everywhere. I think a lot of the people, it started with audiences I had built in the church world. And so the church I left was 10,000 person church, multi-campus. So there was a pretty good audience there that at least kind of knew what I did and came and tried to find me. But yeah, like even this morning, someone made a comment on the YouTube channel. Hey, this is so-and-so from Namibia watching. And I'm like, what in the world? I got people in Africa tuning into my insights, which is a little overwhelming.
That is pretty cool. Tell me about your spouse and how she and you sort of work together here on this business, if at all.
Yeah, that could actually turn into a whole separate conversation. We're still trying to figure it out. And so for a lot of years, because she was kind of home raising our three girls, and especially through the teenage years, there wasn't a whole lot of involvement in what I was doing couples-wise and marriage-wise. So when I launched this, my thought was, oh, we're going to be side by side. We're going to do everything together. We'll shoot videos together. I had all these ideas and never asked her. And so I launched and tried dragging her into anything and everything I was doing. We started a membership community. And so I made her shoot a button. This has got to be me and you together. The YouTube channel is just me. I got her involved a little in YouTube channel with some Q&As to get her comfortable. Backstory is she hates being in front of people. She doesn't want to be on camera. She loves behind the scenes. She doesn't like anything in front of people. And I drug her into all that, made her shoot a bunch of videos with me. And probably over the last 4 months, we've been having a number of come to Jesus meetings where she's finally like, I don't want to do this next to you. I want to be part of it. I want to help you in some capacity, but I don't want to be on video. I don't want to do this side by side. And so we're still trying to figure it out, Pat. The good news is we're having conversations about it. I've backed off of some of that stuff and said, hey, I'll kind of continue to communicate about you, about the different things I'm trying and where I think I'm going. And you can kind of let me know which you want to be a part of. She loves when we do one-on-one with couples. We've mentored couples for years, formally and informally. She loves doing that. She doesn't mind doing Q&A, but when you try to have her learn a script or kind of be a little more mechanical, she's out every time. So we're still trying to figure it out. She's all for it. She loves the mission. We're just trying to figure out what does that mix look like?
Yeah. Well, that's great. I mean, it's a learning process. And, you know, if you could go back, I'm sure you potentially would ask how she might feel about it before diving in. And
yeah, that might be from the relationship guy. That might make sense to first ask your wife, what would you like to do? Right. So, you know, it's one of those, I gotta drink what I'm selling.
Right.
And sometimes I don't.
Well, I discovered that about my wife as well. She's very similar to your wife, it seems, as far as not wanting to be in front of a lot of people, would rather stay behind the scenes and you know, doesn't really want to get talked about much and that kind of thing. And it's hard because, you know, as an entrepreneur who speaks a lot about family, you know, people get curious and they want to know what's going on and how she's doing. And, you know, she stepped up at FlynnCon a couple of years ago. She got on stage and she chatted and she did absolutely fine. She was great. And I was like, wow, you're a natural. And she's like, I never want to do that again.
Right.
Like, okay. She's right. Like, I did it for you once. Don't ask me anymore. But yeah, it's conversation. We're always learning. We have those come to Jesus moments as well, as we just both know that, you know, those moments strengthen our relationship, as I'm sure you know.
For sure. People love hearing my wife, and it's the same thing. I'm like, everybody loved you. And she's like, never again. So we've had those same moments. Yeah.
So tell me what's on your mind now with the business. How are you considering going into 2022?
I feel like I've got a little bit, momentum's the wrong word, because to me, momentum means like we're doing well. And I feel like we're still on the ground phases. I mean, I'm a year and a half in, but I feel like I've learned some things that are working. And so now with kind of the combination of, I do some, you know, virtual counseling, doing these virtual 6-week classes, which I really love, created this membership. And so I think for me, the membership allows me to create the community I want while resourcing them, while connecting them, a lot like SPI Pro has done for me. That, man, just the masterminds and some of the info you get from other people is amazing. So creating that same kind of thing for couples, I'm excited about the membership and maybe, you know, that kind of being the foundation for, I just got done recording my first online course. And so I'm going to try that.
Nice.
I don't know if people will be up for that, but, you know, I've been listening to a guy talk about smart passive income for a few years now. So I think an online course would be passive income and trying to figure out what is the, for me, the combination of the online, the passive income, and then some, you know, in October of 2022, I'm doing what I plan will be planned to do maybe quarterly, but a 4-day intensive on location at a resort in Mexico. So more of an intimate, you know, 6 to 8 couples. I love doing those kind of things. And so I've kind of put that off. And so just trying to figure out the combination for me of those, which I really enjoy, but then also some passive income ideas and building membership. And so I feel like I finally kind of know what I'm trying to do. The first year and a half has been an uphill everyday struggle, really. Everything I'm doing is new. I've been in a box called kind of church world for the last 15 years, and you kind of walk into that box and everything you do is in the walls of that box and you leave the box. And then this is wide open. And instead of leading big teams and speaking and doing all these things, I walk into an office by myself every day, stare at myself and try to figure out what am I going to learn today, right? I mean, YouTube, I don't even know how to upload a video. I don't know how to start a YouTube channel. I don't know what camera to buy. I don't know how to edit a video. So everything I've done over the last year and a half has been new and learning. And just it just kind of feels like you're walking through deep snow day after day after day. And so I feel like maybe I got some at least some cross country skis, which is a little harder than downhill skiing, but better than snowshoeing. So I feel like I kind of know where I'm going and can I now start to build some momentum?
Yeah, no, I love that. And thank you for that honesty. You know, I think a lot of people love to hear that. Well, you know, things don't always happen overnight for people, but you make progress, you move forward, you know, you have to build that momentum, like you said, and an object at rest tends to stay at rest until it's acted on by an outside force. And that outside force will sometimes take a lot of time and a lot of effort and energy. So I appreciate that. And, you know, to appreciate the small wins along the way, I mean, you're already helping people, you're already serving people, and now you're creating other ways to do that. And now the online course is coming. Tell me about the online course. What is it about? And what was your approach to creating it?
Yeah, I just took the topic that every couple says is their issue. So when couples come to counseling, the number one presenting problem of all couples is we can't communicate. Hmm. And again, for me, I'm like, most of the time, it's not even a communication issue. It's other stuff. Because you communicate fine. You're yelling at each other. You're articulate in what you say. Like, it's not you can't communicate. It's other underlying stuff going on. And so I said, you know, if I was struggling in communication, what would help me? And I tried to create, it's kind of 4 modules, 19 videos. It's got 12 different exercises. So again, that may be overkill. I'm about to find out. And I may go, I need to tone it down, or I need to turn this into 2 different courses, or maybe it's not enough. But really just walking couples through what are some of the key issues in communication? What are some of our misses? What are some of the I have some characters of conflict that show up and help identifying that. And then really trying to help couples create a communication rhythm that works for them. I think with intentionality, you can avoid a lot of the stuff that is tripping you up. And I think that's generally a lot of couples' problems is just a lack of intentionality. We mm-hmm. bought into this. I think dating causes you to buy into a myth that everything kind of organically happens, and then you get married and you have kids and you have real life and you have jobs, and the stuff that used to just happen isn't happening, and now we're not quote in love anymore. And it's like, that's not it. You're just not intentional with doing the right things on a regular basis. And you know, it's a lot like business. I mean, there's a business side to marriage. Maybe we don't want to talk about it, but we all get married for the fun relational side of marriage. But there's a business side. And if we manage it well, I think we can we can help out the relational side. So yes, yeah, just around trying to help couples understand why they're not communicating well and how to step into a rhythm that will really help them.
Nice. So what's the real promise or transformation there? You could talk about what's inside, but people, that's not what they're buying. They're buying the result. What's the end result of what it is you're offering?
Yeah, the end result is better communication, which leads to greater connection and intimacy in your relationship.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah. Love it. So when is it launching?
Not exactly sure when it's done. So whenever I decide to launch it. And that's been one of my other, since we're talking about entrepreneurial struggles, is with these multiple kind of offerings now, trying to figure out, when do I push what? And, you know, I've been following, I think I came on to Shane Sams through you and the Flip Lifestyle, but really kind of following some of his membership marketing calendar, did that the end of 2021. And that's been helpful, but it's like, okay, well, if I push membership, then should I not push the course or should I not push my upcoming class? And then, well, I got to get people signed up for this retreat in October. So my answer is, I don't really know. When or how I'm going to push it well.
So what do you think your next steps are then?
I think my next steps are to decide just when I want to launch it. And I don't really know, to be honest with you. I don't have a good answer. And maybe you can help on that one.
No, that's okay. I mean, I'm putting my coaching hat a little bit on for you to, you know, hopefully help you pick a date at some point this year to choose and just kind of work toward knowing that, okay, like you launch and you'll get some sales most likely. And then you'll have a group of people in there going through and helping you validate what's working and what's not, which should inspire you and help you fine tune it before an even bigger launch with now testimonials behind it. Or maybe it doesn't make any sales, in which case, okay, well, you know, this is what people need. The messaging or the positioning was maybe incorrect. And then you can have conversations with your audience about, okay, well, where did I miss the mark? Or, you know, what do you really want and what is missing? So, you know, the truth is if you just kind of let it linger, you know, you'll make the same mistake that I did. Quick story, when I sold my architecture exam guide back in 2008, which was very successful. It was a PDF file. I sold it for $19. It did extremely well. There were no course creation tools back then necessarily. You had to kind of code your own thing. So I actually hired a company with some of that income to build out a WordPress-based course platform. Mm-hmm. And I had set it up and I had my PDF file essentially transformed into this online course. And I filmed videos for it and everything. And I never launched it. I never launched it because I was too afraid of whether or not it was actually going to be helpful. I was too afraid of what people are going to say. I didn't like the fact that I was voicing it and my face was on camera. And I just kind of let it sit there. So when I consider now looking back, the value that I didn't offer my audience because I was just satisfied with a book versus something that would have helped much more, I lost out on potentially, you know, 10x earnings as a result. Like it could have been a few million dollars that I left behind as a result of just waiting. A little bit of perfectionism got in the way. I don't know if you fall into that trap, but I definitely do.
Luckily, I don't. I probably need more perfectionism. Yeah, I'm kind of like, well, let's just wing it and see what happens. So I'm just trying to figure out timing to maximize it. So I may do, I'm launching an upcoming 6-week class. And so once I fill that class up, maybe I'll turn right back around and kind of, you know, try to communicate and launch that.
How much does the class cost?
The class is $299 a couple. So it's an hour and a half once a week for 6 weeks.
Okay. What's cool is that online course, it would be positioned as a little bit lower cost, right?
Correct.
Typically. And so your in-person stuff or your virtual stuff anchors that price and allows you to go, okay, well, you can't afford that. That's okay. We got this thing over here that will help you and it's cheaper and it will serve those who are not going to get into your virtual events or your in-person events. So I think it's a perfect offering. You now have like a middle offering for people who can't work with you or just aren't able to, or maybe are too afraid to, right? And now you have sort of a at your own pace kind of thing going on.
Yeah.
How do you manage the 6-week program? I'm curious to see how that is actually, you know, what's that experience like? What tools are you using to make that happen?
Yeah, so really just using Zoom on it. And so we do, like I said, an hour and a half class on a given night, you know, run it Mondays or Wednesdays for 6 weeks straight. And so I limit it to 20 couples. I want the experience to be somewhat intimate. And so we'll do kind of an opening icebreaker, some stuff like that. I'll do a teaching portion, which is usually 20 to 30 minutes on kind of the topic for that night. And then we break into small Zoom groups of five couples each, led and facilitated by a couple that, you know, I've been working with that knows what to do. And then we come back together at the end of each time for any Q&As and kind of the challenge for the week I give them, and they're off and running. We circle back next week and do it again. So
nice. How do you encourage people to share during those moments? Because with especially the virtual stuff, I mean, a lot of the value comes with participation in those things.
Yeah.
I could watch a virtual conference and just be bored as heck, but I've done virtual things where it feels like I'm almost in the same room. What do you do tactically to make that happen and make them feel like, you know, it's a place that they feel safe, engaging, and being a part of?
Yeah, so we kind of some of the ground rules you set up at the beginning. So going back to what I said before, I lead the way on that. And so me being transparent, and I'll find opportune times to share aspects of our relationship that obviously I've talked to my wife ahead of time that we are comfortable sharing. So I'll lead the way with that. I'll set some ground rules, which is this is a place to share. The expectation is that we would share to the level of comfort we have. And also the expectation is what we talk about here stays here. We want to guard and protect each other to create a safe space. And then the facilitators that are facilitating when we break into those small groups, they get that. They've known me for a while. They know what the goal is. And so they'll do a little bit of self-disclosure. And also you can just, part of it is you know, learning the skills of leading a small group, right? And there's some things you do. You can call people out and ask people, you know, if they're not talking, hey, you know, Johnsons, would you guys like to share on this one? Are you comfortable stepping into this, or even giving people time? Hey, I'm coming to you next, Smith. So if you want to start thinking about what you might have around that, if you want to mute yourselves and talk and make sure you guys are both on the same page about what you want to share. So just some little techniques to create that environment. But I think when you set the tone, you explain, this is what we're here for, this is what we're doing, you lead the way. People tend to, and we've had people, you know, so those are some of the testimonials I'll get, especially from wives, which are, you know, my husband didn't really want to take this class and he doesn't really open up to anybody. And I was real surprised that he started talking and felt comfortable. It's amazing when you're sitting in a group of four to five couples, and even if you have no intention on sharing, when you start hearing somebody else share something and you can relate to that, and you start getting those head nods, you almost just kind of find yourself sucked into the conversation, not knowing, I didn't plan on talking, but man, I just kind of got involved and forgot where I was and started sharing. So we've just seen that over and over again. That tends to be the case. And if people aren't comfortable sharing, they don't have to. And we're okay with that too.
Where did you find your facilitators? That seems to be an important piece of this puzzle.
Yeah, a lot of them are couples I've known for years, that some of them served with me when I led couples ministry in church, others that we've been, so that, you know, I say I believe in community, and I do, and all 27 years of our marriage, we've been involved in small groups of some kind, no matter where we've lived, and, you know, either meeting weekly or every other week, almost the mastermind idea for business, but for marriage. And so a lot of these couples I've been doing kind of life like that with. And so I know their stories. They know my stories. They know my heart. They know my approach. And then, of course, we talked and done some training on here's the expectations around what small group looks like. So, yeah, I feel 100% comfortable with who they are and their attitude. And it's like building a team. You know, I'm sure the people you continue to bring into SPI have the same heart you have, which is to serve and do that kind of stuff. So.
Do you compensate them for that work inside the group?
I do a little bit, you know, and I think a lot of them are gracious with where I'm at right now and have a heart to, hey, we want to support your organization in any way we can. So honestly, I didn't promise any of them anything up front. None of them asked for anything. But I gave them all some Amazon gift cards and afterwards to thank them for their time and effort. But they love doing it because they love couples and they believe in what we're doing. And they'd honestly do it for free. But yeah, I want to compensate them as well.
That's great. And so I can imagine once the world opens back up that a lot of the in-person stuff that you want to do, like in October, that feeling that you might offer virtual, but now in person in a destination area, you can see each other, you can touch, you can feel, you can be emotional with others. I think that's going to be really cool. Have you run one of those before, like those retreat type things?
Yeah. We've done in the past, I've done everything from 3 to 4 day intensive experiences to overnighters, just even a 24-hour Friday, yeah, 5 to Saturday at 3 at a hotel stay, just kind of getting away and focusing in. And so, yeah, I've done a lot of that stuff in the past. And
what's a typical day schedule or agenda for like a day during one of those in-person events?
For like a retreat like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think on the just an overnighter one, you kind of get people showing up after work around dinner time, usually do some icebreaker stuff, a little social, have dinner, and then start with a session that night. I usually like that first night session because people are coming in distracted, whether they're flying somewhere or driving in, they're tired, they're distracted. We're not going to go super deep and heavy because it's going to be overwhelming. So we'll usually do a lighter topic, maybe something around personality assessments or temperaments or something that, you know, is kind of fun and a little more lighthearted, but helps understanding, sleep on it, give them something to do at night, and then jump back in the next morning, do some breakfast, usually a session, maybe a little break, another session. And so try to get on just a 24-hour one, 3 to maybe 4 sessions, depending on, you know, how in depth they are. And then, you know, on a 4 day one, it's, we're going to go in a lot heavier. So the opening night, like a Thursday night, may be lighter, but then, you know, we're going to hit a couple hard sessions Friday, a couple hard sessions Saturday, something to end Sunday with a roadmap and game plan for where do we go from here. I'm kind of a reluctant counselor. One of my frustrations with counseling has always been not a whole lot of progress in meeting with somebody you don't know for 50 minutes once a week with no other relationship with them. The community aspect is so powerful. And that's why I love like an intensive weekend, man. These 6 to 8 couples, you know, become friends for life a lot of time. And you've now built community and we're going to walk with you when you leave here. And so here's what the next 3-6 months look like. Because otherwise you make some progress and then, you know, you follow up with a couple 3 months later and right back in the same place because,
yeah.
And so that's why I love the membership. Anything you can do with community is going to serve couples better than, hey, we're going to a random counselor who helps us out and has no other impact in our life other than 50 minutes once a week.
And that's where I think the future of business is headed. It's with membership, it's with community, it's with experience. And, you know, you have your tight little group and you're able to do things together versus, you know, these bigger brands and these bigger things. So I love that. And I think that you have all the things that you need necessary to do that. You have the experience, obviously, but now you're online. You know, it's one of those things. It's like, oh, the pandemic was terrible, but it also forced you to make certain decisions to now be in a place. You know, it's like so many great things have come out of that forcing. And in addition to that, now you have all these different levels of offerings. You have the high level retreats, you have the mid-level virtuals, and then now you have the course that's coming and some other sort of even smaller than that kind of things. So I think you're close to that point, Eric, where you won't have to trudge through the wonders of snow anymore. You'll be able to sort of stake your ground in and go, okay, this is where I'm building my home. This is what's here. And then you'll be able to kind of invite other people into it without having to explore anymore because you'll have nailed it. And it does take a couple of years typically, as I find when I work with people, to find their voice, to find themselves, and to find their rhythm and cadence. So you're pretty much, if not very close to being there.
No, I appreciate that, Pat. And that's really one of the, when I started, there's so much information out there, right? Mm-hmm. And there's so many people, quote, killing it that are like, come with me because I'm killing it and I'll help you kill it. And so I found myself, you know, you name it, I've taken somebody's free webinar on membership or sales funnels, or I mean, we could sit here and name all the big names. I've watched them all. But sometimes it causes more confusion and overwhelming. And so I think that's why I connected with you and SPI, Pat, is because you're not trying to run out here with a gigantic personality and be overly energetic and get everybody in. You're just matter of fact, this is what I've done. This is what works. This is what's not worked. And for me, that's applicable. That Superfans book, literally, what if someone said, hey, what's your business plan? I don't know how to do a business plan. I've never done one before. I'm a first-time entrepreneur, solopreneur, whatever you want to call me. I have no idea. I don't even know what a business plan looks like. But when I read Superfans, I said, I got a business plan. That was my business plan outline. And so I think the community that you provided, just being an SBI pro, I mean, the conversations I get to listen in on, I mean, there's some people in there doing some big stuff and I just get to be a fly on the wall and listen to it. And then the masterminds being a part of that. So I think, yeah, the only reason I feel a little good about where I am a year and a half in is because I feel like I've had tons of great mentors. And that's the great thing about the online space and books, right? This is the first time we've ever talked, but you're a mentor through all your content, whether we ever talked, and have been instrumental in me making this progress and getting there. And so,
thank you,
man. Yeah, man, it's been amazing too. And I think that's for anybody trying to start out. It's like, find your people. And there's lots of different memberships I could have joined that I looked at. But for whatever reason, some of them didn't resonate with me, didn't click with me. That's not my personality. I can maybe take some of your tools and ideas. But I think for me, you and SBI and SBI Pro was like, oh, here's my tribe. I can grow with this tribe. And I think we are.
Thank you, Eric. I appreciate that. I promise I did not pay you to say that.
No, that's why I say you had no idea that I've read those books. That we've never talked about it.
No, it's a perfect lesson to end on. It's this idea of, you know, whether it's SPI or another group or another community, you got to find your place where you can go and listen in and get inspired and get motivated and also serve. And when you serve those communities yourself, you're going to get served back. And it's just a pass back and forth for the benefit of everybody. So
this is, I mean, our conversation right now is a perfect example of what you say you do, right? This is part of Superfans. Make them shine.
Yep.
I'm someone who's part of your community, who did not earn this platform that we're on right now, who doesn't deserve this platform based on performance, but because your heart is to serve and make it shine, here we are having a conversation where I'm learning and getting access to a bigger platform than I would have. And I think that just continues to, again, this is not a pump pad up day, but this is why I connected with you, SBI, and the whole team, is because you guys mean what you say. And your heart first is to serve and help other people get where they're trying to go. And that's for any entrepreneurs who are where I am, or, you know, a half a year behind me or 2 years ahead of me, that's who you got to find. People that really want to see you succeed, that are not just here to sell you the next program. Because you got to sell stuff because you have to make a living. And that's been a whole another mindset shift for me coming out of church world, where it's you just do everything. You already got a paycheck. Just do everything out of the goodness of your heart. To now, oh, I got to charge people for stuff. So I'm sure, you know, when you asked me the price of my class, I hesitated for a second because I'm like, my price is probably wrong. That's going to tell me I'm undercharging or something. But just trying to change that mentality. So you got to need people you can lock arms with that will help you get where you're going. And then, you know, my heart is as this organization builds, helping couples, that I'm going to be bringing people in who have a heart to do the same thing I do, but not the time or the risk or whatever it took for me to try to build it. So how do I create a platform that now other people can come under? And so, yeah, I've been grateful for the community I've been able to find online.
Thank you, man. And the fact that you're creating community, you're going to hear feedback very similar from your people if you haven't already. And that's what it's about. So thank you, Eric, for coming on. I appreciate you. One more time, where can people go to get access to your great work?
Yeah, I think the easiest place is probably website, alteredmarriage.com. That's spelled A-L-T-A-R-E-D, marriage.com. And I'm going to throw out, you know, I appreciate all you've done. I'm going to throw, if they do alteredmarriage.com/SPI, I'm going to have some, if anybody wants relationship stuff, I'll have some free guides on there. For daters, well, I'll give you a little modern daters manifesto, what to watch out for, what to look for, and what are you here for? And then for any married couples, again, I think intentionality is key. So I've got a little guide for developing your relationship rhythm. I think it'll go a long way in helping couples get where they want to go. And that's usually reserved for our members, but Now it's for any SPI fans.
Awesome. Eric, thank you so much. AlteredMarriage.com/SPI. We'll have links in the show notes. Eric, awesome job. Have a great year. I appreciate you, and I look forward to seeing you inside of Pro.
Thanks. Great talking to you.
You too. All right. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Eric from AlteredMarriage.com. You can find some of his freebies and things if that is something that you'd be interested in. You can find it at AlteredMarriage.com/SPI. Now, again, this episode was episode 549, and you can, of course, get the show notes, all the links and the resources that we talked about today at smartpassiveincome.com/session549. And if you've listened to this and you're like, wow, I'm really interested in joining Pro, it seemed like it did a lot for Eric, and it's done a lot for so many hundreds of other members. If you'd like to apply to become a part of our next cohort, all you have to do is go to smartpassiveincome.com/pro. That's it. smartpassiveincome.com/pro. You could check it out, fill out the application. We'll see if it's a good fit on both sides. If not, then we'll tell you some next steps to help you get to that level where you can join SPI Pro in the future. So again, smartpassiveincome.com/pro. Thanks so much. I appreciate you. Make sure you hit subscribe because we have some amazing content coming your way, some more interviews, some other fun shows, and I look forward to serving you in the near future. Peace out. Take care. And as always, Team Flynn for the win. Thanks for listening to the Smart Passive Income Podcast at smartpassiveincome.com. I'm your host, Pat Flynn. Our senior producer is Sarah Jane Hess. Our series producer is David Grabowski. And our executive producer is Matt Gartland. Sound and video editing by Sean West Media. The Smart Passive Income Podcast is a production of SPI Media. We'll catch you in the next session. Hey, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. And if you're looking for a new podcast to add to your rotation, I highly recommend Problem Solvers, hosted by Jason Pfeiffer, who's been on the show a few times, actually. As you probably heard in the credits, both our shows are on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. On Problem Solvers, Entrepreneur's editor-in-chief tells the stories of real founders that solved real problems in their businesses, helping listeners get through any obstacles in their own ventures. And each episode is really distinct and easy to follow, and they're bite-sized too, usually around 15 to 20 minutes. And Jason pulls each story out himself so you can avoid the same crippling problems. Matt and I were recently on the show in episode 302, and Jason recently hosted a great episode on whether anyone can be too quote-unquote curious for a traditional career. Listen to Problem Solvers right now on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher.